Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Bleav.
This is Bleav and Georgia Dogs Podcast on the Bleav Podcast Network.
Scored a touchdown earlier on a direct snap. Now it's Michelle's turn, running all the way. Gets to the edge. Sonny Michelle will send the Dogs home to the championship game.
...53.5-yard drive near hash, kick right, snap, hold, kick is away, it's reaching, and it is good, 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 Hot Pod does it, all right, Hot Pod!
Wilcox with an up and out, wide open, touchdown, Israel Truth!
All right, let's get it rolling. All right, here we go. In 3, 2, 1. Welcome back. It is another edition of the Bleav in Georgia Dogs podcast on the Bleav Podcast Network, the number one podcasting network for professionals. I'm your host, Corey Burton. Joining me is a man living the study hall blues, but why does he live them? Because Troop loved the kids. It's Israel Troop, man. What's up?
Yeah, man, we gotta make sure we get these kids' grades right. You're a student athlete first, and that's the part that we're trying to get to them. But you know, hey, there's a will, there's a way. Like you said, Coach Troop, love the kids.
Yep, you got to find that way, right? If the Tornadoes are going to be good, you got to find that. You got to find that solution. That's always important. And you know, a lot of coaches out there are too worried about X's and O's and all that good stuff. But you know, you gotta have the academic side.
That's it. It doesn't matter how many guys you got. It doesn't matter how many guys you got, how talented you are, if they can't play or they're ineligible. So
exactly. We're running through that same thing. I mean, virtual school kind of just blew us out of the water a little bit, so we're still playing catch up from that. We're gonna have extended summer school, and we're gonna have a lot of opportunities for these kids to jump into summer school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're doing the same thing, but you know, it kind of cuts into our workout times, which as a coach, you know, it cuts into our summer vacation. So we're trying to get as many as possible, you know, out of summer school, and so they don't have to take it. So that's why we're taking the time now to get it done during school. And right now, since we are half virtual, the other half of the day is that remediation time anyway. So it's time to get work done. So we took them out of the classroom, away from their friends, to come in here in the auditorium and do their work. Now, the incentive is as soon as you get done, you're passing all your classes, you get to get out. So the longer you stay depends on what you do and how much work you get done.
Yeah, so there's probably not going to be much slacking around because – they want to be in lunch with their kids. They want to be in lunch with their friends, or they just want to not be in the auditorium where it's quote boring.
Yeah, and doing all their work from them too. So
that's another incentive. So doing the study hall thing. Yeah, I'm on my planning period right now. So it's been good. I'm redesigning my studio here at school and getting that done. I'm laying some green vinyl down.
Nice.
And making sure that we got the green screen set up and making sure we're able to do some cool stuff in the video production world. That's what I teach if you guys are catching on for the first time. I'm up here in Nashville, and Israel's joining me from Albany. So
that's right.
at Monroe Area High School, and I'm at Hillwood High School. I'm a Hilltopper. You're a Tornado. None of us are the common mascots, which is good.
That's right. I can
dig that. So, well, we're brought to you by betonline.ag. NBA still going. The playoff push is happening in the NBA. You've got MLB still going on. The Masters just happened. I hope you, if you made bets on the Masters, I hope you won. But we still got some good basketball stuff. And if you're brave enough to do NHL, by all means, do NHL. And the online casino is always open as well. I'm a blackjack man myself. I tried craps on there one time. It was kind of fun, but you know, when craps is real, you can lose your money real quick.
Yeah, real quick. So I think since I got so much time on my hands during this whole study hall deal, I might get into some blackjack while I got some time.
Yeah, win you some money. Win us some money. maybe we can buy a sweet studio. Like J-Boy has, but that's coming soon. Some big things are in the works, actually. I'll get to that here in just a second. So head to the website, betonline.ag, or use your mobile device to sign up today. Receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook expert. So we got some big stuff in the offing. I got a meeting set up on Monday, time to be announced. We're going to take a look at Josh Fisher from Charity Stripe, and one of the original believers, is getting us set up on a video platform so that you can see our faces when we talk to you. So I'm excited about that. I'm excited about the possibilities of what we can do. If you want to have a look at what it could possibly look like, check out Ryan Dyrud's show from LAFB. His channel on YouTube. That's going to be kind of what we would look like, I would imagine. But I'll get more details as they come out. So we're going to be up in our game, Israel, on the video stream.
I know we're moving on up like the Jeffersons, baby. I'm excited about it. You know, thank you to all our fans and our subscribers that have made this possible, helped the show grow. So without y'all, we wouldn't be able to do anything.
Exactly. That we don't have a show without you guys. It's just two random dudes talking football without the subscribers. And so we're able to do some cool things and add some cool sponsors and get some things rolling. So I'm excited for that. Also, in the boat, figuratively and literally, monsterbass.com. So fishing, I was actually asked my father-in-law, for his daughter's hand in marriage while I was bass fishing. Of course, I was so nervous, I didn't really catch anything, but maybe I didn't have the right bass, or maybe I didn't have the right bait. And I still don't really know what I'm doing when it comes to fishing. I'm still learning. I'm still very much a novice. But our friends at Monster Bass, that's why I'm excited about our newest sponsor. Monster Bass is the fun and affordable way to get the best new baits from the fishing industry's top brands delivered to your door each month. It's a premium subscription fishing company that handpicks the best baits based on where you live and fish. So my baits, and they do multi-species too. So if bass is not really prevalent in your area, that's okay. They carry baits for other freshwater species. They haven't ventured into the saltwater world just yet, but they do specialize in ice fishing and any sort of freshwater fishing. So no more guessing on which baits are going to work. Just leave it to the pros at Monster Bass. Basically, it's like having your own personal fishing guide, and it's changing the way bass fishermen shop for baits. They're quickly becoming the number one fishing brand anglers everywhere. They've got the best baits from the best brands, and you're covered by the industry's best customer service. So if you want to catch bigger bass this season, head over to monsterbass.com and use the promo code DOGS10 to get $10 off your first box. Sign up for Monster Bass now. Not now, right now. So hit pause and go sign up, and you'll be a better fisherman just for... You know, it's all about the bait, Israel. It's so much about the bait.
That's it. I mean, if you got the right bait on there, you'll be fine. You know, I catch bass with, you know, little pond worms, little red wigglers and things like that. But, you know, I might have to get on this website to find me something good. I catch all the little ones, but you know, it's time for me to up my game and catch the big ones.
You'll be a tournament fisherman before too long. It's like, see me, I'll be able to tie the hook onto the line.
Mm-hmm.
you are going to probably be a tournament fisherman.
Yeah.
Now, my brother-in-laws they fish in tournaments. They're not professional fishermen, but they fish in like these local tournaments. And so I'm looking to get on their level.
There you go.
So monsterbass.com is going to help me do that. And I'm excited about that. I'm going to check out what they have for the Nashville area. So, but Israel, this weekend's an exciting weekend. If you're a Georgia fan, it is the G-Day football game. I know you've probably watched Clemson's spring game. You've probably watched Florida State's spring game. I don't know who else's spring games have been on. That's the ones that populate my YouTube list right now. So that's the ones I've been kind of focused on. So G-Day this Saturday, I'm excited about it. The storylines that we've talked about, there's some more storylines coming out of our latest scrimmage last weekend that are emerging that I feel good about. One of those being, I'm going to start with Kendall Milton. I feel like he is rapidly making an impression in that backfield. What do you think?
I think so, too. I was just about to say before we started, and Kendall Milton is lighting it up right now. You know, there's a lot of aspects to running back, and I think we have a plethora of talent in the backfield. But, you know, some guys, you know, do some things well and others do everything well. And I think Kendall Milton right now is doing everything well, and the coaches are very high on him right now.
Absolutely. I mean, he runs hard, finishes runs. I mean, Kirby said it as much, and if you get that out of Kirby, you're in good shape. You know, he says, I think Kendall's done a really good job today with some physical runs. That's who he is. We had a couple of third and shorts that he was able to convert as a big back. So he did some good things. So if you get that kind of praise from Coach Smart, you're in good shape. So the one thing at the running back position that's going to be extremely important is in the pass game. Whether it's catching that's balls cool. out of the backfield or, most importantly, protections.
Pass protection. There you go.
Exactly. So you've got to be – like pass protection should not be passive.
No.
And the guy that's going to be the best at pass protection is probably going to get a lot of run, I would imagine.
That's exactly what I do for my offense. You know, I have a couple of backs that are really, really good. And whoever can pass protect – catch the ball at the backfield and run the ball physically, you know, with an attitude is the one that's going to play the most. Now, will all of them play? Of course. They'll all play. But I know exactly who I want in the game in certain situations. And pass pro for me is the easiest way to get on the football field. You know, when I was there, you know, Craig Lumpkin and Noshon and Thomas Brown were there. And just watching those guys take pride, you know, when a linebacker comes up the middle. You know, Brandon Miller was there when I was there, and he came up the middle one day. And, I mean, Thomas Brown got low and just literally picked him up off the ground. And Brandon Miller's not a small guy.
No, he's not.
You know, so, you know, those guys took pride in that. And as a running back, you know, of course you're going to get your carries and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, you're an intricate part of the passing game in the blocking game or, you know, if we're sending you out on the route to catch the football. So if he can do all that, and I think he has a leg up on everybody.
Yeah, even the screen game as well. So it's going to be kind of who can do what the best. And I think, honestly, Zamir might be the best pass protector. I've seen him pick up a ton of good blitzes. I'm thinking James Cook is going to be more of a screen guy, and Kendall Milton's going to kind of be the swing guy. It's kind of in between. He's going to do a little bit of both, I think. So I'm excited about this running back group. I'm excited to see what they can do. I'm excited because we have so many playmakers there. We have four legitimate guys that could start anywhere in this conference. And that's going to make for a deadly run game, because not only are they talented, they bring different things to the table, and we can get a fresh guy in just about every other series. And it's going to be amazing.
Right. It makes defenses have to go ahead.
Yeah, no, it's going to make defenses have to really prepare and really kind of, you know, they got to prepare for different things. Okay, James Cook's in, so we got to do some different things. Zamir White, okay, maybe we have to defend him this way. Maybe we throw both of them in. So, I mean, I think that's kind of where you were going, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, most definitely. And I just got an alert that says Kirby Smart says that Brock Bowers appears to be pushing early for playing time at Georgia, you know. To get a comment like you said with Kendall, to get a comment like that from your head coach as you know, an incoming player, I mean, that's huge. So, I mean, Georgia's offense is looking pretty good. Now, of course, you know, I'm not going to say, oh, we're winning the national championship this year. Of course, I'm not going to say that. But we have the firepower to, if we do everything right, you know, we don't get injuries and things like that. I mean, we have the firepower to do something great this year.
Yeah, it's going to come down to up front, shuffling the deck there, seeing who's going to emerge up on the offensive line. I think it's going to be the biggest key to say, okay, are we going to be a two-loss team, or are we going to college football playoff and beyond? And I think as this offensive line shapes out, some guys get healthy that were nicked up, banged up. I'm looking at the projected lineup. I'm excited about what, mm-hmm. what I'm seeing. You know, Warren Erickson's really taken over at center. He's a guy that's learned from Trey Hill. He's a guy that spent some time in the offseason and during COVID days with Ben Jones and David Andrews via Zoom. I mean, it's like a playing center at Georgia is like a fraternity. You know, those guys are super, super close. And you have Ben Jones, David Andrews, and Lamont Galliard in the league currently. So those are some guys you can look up to. And so I think that Warren Erickson, he'll be flanked by Justin Schaefer at left guard and Jamari Sawyer probably at the other guard. Jamari Sawyer is also in the mix at left tackle. I don't think that's the best fit for him. However, if it's the best fit for our unit overall, you know, you got to do what you got to do. But I'm thinking your interior guys are going to be Schaefer, Erickson, and Sawyer. And that leaves Amarius Mims, Broderick Jones, Tate Ratledge, you know, some of those guys, Xavier Truss, who's getting a lot of praise at the tackle mm-hmm. position. He's a guy that could run away with it on the exterior. He's a guy that's physical, has great feet, you know, doesn't get beat a whole lot, competing really hard. Somebody who's put in the work. He was, Truss is a Colquitt kid, right? If I remember correctly.
No, he is from Camden.
Camden.
Is that the one from Camden?
You might be right.
I might be. I'm not sure. But we have so many, and the thing is those practice, hold on just a second.
Uh-oh, did I?
Dude, we have the longest school bell I've ever heard in my whole entire life. It's like a whole, like, 30 seconds.
Good Lord.
So I had to, like, mute you for a second because everybody be listening to the bell ring.
my bell rang at the same time. Ours is a little bit more subtle. And what I've done is actually in my room, I've put tape over the speaker so it's not the blare as loud.
We've tried, and it's, like, on volume 1,000 over here. Yeah, but what I was saying was, for our tackle, if we're going to be good in the middle, you know, from guard, center guard, and we have to be very talented on the outside, because you have to think now, all right, a lot of teams with the Jamar Chases in the world and all those guys coming up, these guys on the outside are very, very athletic. They're not just your big defensive ends like that we've seen in the past. These guys are linebackers, bodies, you know, that can run, that can get off the ball. So we have to be very athletic on the outside. You know, just think, you know, Adam Anderson, right now, coming off the edge.
Oh, yeah. Nolan Smith.
Those are the guys that we're going to have to block, and we have to be very athletic on the outside. So I'm very interested to see, you know, what we do at left and right tackle, especially left tackle. You know, that's always the quarterback's blind side.
Yeah.
So if we're solid in the middle, and like you said, we have to shuffle some guys around for the best fit. Let's do that. But, you know, as long as we can put the right unit out there and get it done and be physical up front, like I said earlier, with all the talent we have on the outside at running back, at quarterback, we're going to be really good, you know, on the offensive side of the football. And Coach Munkin and that staff, you know, they'll get it done. You know, Coach Munkin has my full trust. So I'm looking forward to it, and I can't wait. I can't wait to see him on Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be just to see how they unfold. You know, I just want to see a more aggressive style of play. And Xavier Truss is the odds-on favorite at left tackle, as long as he stays healthy. And I think you and I were both way off on where he's from. He's from Rhode Island.
Oh, no. Which one is from Camden?
So that's a good question. I'll get back to you on that one. But, yeah, Truss is from Warwick, Rhode Island. I think when you look at it, you know, you look at Xavier Truss locking down the left side, then it's basically Broderick Jones and Amarius Mims for that right tackle spot. And then kind of Tate Ratledge is the he's kind of in the mix. Austin Blaski is also in the mix there. And he's kind of a swing guy. Clay Webb is somebody on the interior. Cedric Van Pran, somebody on the interior that could get reps and push for some playing time. So it's you got about 8 or 9 guys that are really pushing for playing time. So to say this competition is over would be a stretch. Yeah. It's far from over.
Yeah, you need that depth, especially at O-line, because you never know what might happen at the O-line, especially if you have guys that can play multiple positions. I mean, that's key, So if I have anything for those guys, if you play guard, learn how to play tackle, learn how to snap the football, learn little things like that can help you, get on the field a little bit faster, because you never know, something might happen. Next man up, it's time to go to work.
Exactly. So I think the offense is going to be in really good shape. I'm curious to see what they showcase. I mean, when every spring game that you ever participated in, I felt like Coach Richt didn't really showcase a lot. I think it was just kind of, hey, let's get through this. Let's get some quality reps. Let's try not to get too many people hurt, and let's not put too much out there. So what kind of balance do you think we'll see between a conservative, I guess, playbook versus, Georgia wanting to put on a show?
I think they'll put on a little bit of a show, but I think it's still going to be conservative. You want to come out and show all your fucking information and things like that. I think keep it vanilla, but at the same time, exciting enough to where, you're throwing the ball downfield and you're doing things like that. So I think it'll be fun. You always – it's always red versus black. I think they still do red versus black. So, yeah. You always want to win. Even though sometimes you don't get your steak dinner, but I think Kirby actually gives them their steak dinner now. So
that's interesting.
It'll be exciting to see. I know we never got that.
you never got either one of them.
Yeah. Be to that, but I'm still waiting. I'm still waiting. But I think it'll be fine. I think it'll be fun. Like you say, you don't want to showcase too much, but you do want to put on a show for the fans. So I'm looking forward to watching it.
Well, we do need to work on our vertical passing game a little bit. So, and Kirby said he wants to do that. So I'm excited. I'm excited to see Carson Beck, see what he's got. Apparently he's making some buzz for that backup spot. Also, on the offensive side of the ball, you have Adonai Mitchell. Some of these, him and Justin Robinson, and early enrollees, going to kind of see what they've got as far as showcasing there at the wide receiver spot, taking over there. But let's flip over to defense. Some guys that I'm excited to see and I'm curious to see is Keely Ringo and the cornerback spot, Jalen Kember, Lavoisier Carroll, how he transitions from running back, signed as a running back, going to jump over and play some defense. And the linebacker room, you got Ryan Davis who's pushing. He's a redshirt sophomore. He's pushing for some playing time. He's a guy that can play both spots. He knows the system now, and he's turning some heads a little bit. And he'll join Channing Tindall and Quay Walker this spring as N'Kobe Dean is still recovering from his injuries and healing up. It's Coach Dean right now, but he'll join the linebacker room here pretty soon.
I think it's going to be fun to see, when you redshirt or you don't play as much as you think you should, how much did you learn, during that experience, did you sulk and did you say, well, I should be playing and things like that? Did you kind of soak it up and learn exactly what to do? So that's what I'm looking for this year, defensively. If a guy goes down, like Rich LeCount goes down, another guy should be able to go in. You know what I mean? So,
and Chris Smith did a great job.
Filling in. And he did it. And that shows that he paid attention. Like we tell our kids all the time, just because you're not in the game or you're not in that particular rep, like you're getting mental reps the whole time. So it sounds like those guys have gotten great mental reps. They know what to do. Now it's just time to let the dogs eat and let them go play ball.
Absolutely. And that goes for any position on the field, offense, defense, special teams. I mean, you got to be ready to go at any moment. So, you can tell right away as soon as you see him play, and you'll see everybody play in the G-Day game, but you'll see who's paid attention, who's really worked at it, and who's not. But I think all the cornerbacks, you're going to look at it and say, I'm glad I'm not making this decision because I've heard that that's been the most competitive room in the entire team, and they've been getting after it.
Yes, sir. You have to think that is the one position that had the most holes to fill. So you know, as soon as basically you need four new starters. So you're like, shoot, we're finna go out here and go to work. So that's exactly what you like, and you know that's right up Kirby Smart's alley. You know, he wants to see him compete. And he was a secondary guy, so that's what he loves. I bet he's eating it up right now too. So,
oh yeah,
I'm excited to see him go out there and play. And you know, it also helps when you're going to get such great talent on the offensive side of the ball as well within your own group. So it's going to be fun to watch. I wish I could go, but we got to do physicals on Saturday. They would choose this weekend to do physicals for the whole entire county, so I have to kind of head that up. But I'll be watching in the meantime. So I can't wait to see the boys get out there on the field. I can't wait to see actual fans in the stands as well.
Yeah, I'm sure there's going to be as many fans as they'll allow in the stadium, and then there'll probably be triple that outside the stadium. So I'm excited to see Athens buzzing finally after COVID. I know communities like Athens need it. I know other communities need it too. But we're a dog show, so. We're going to focus on Athens, but Athens definitely needs it. So defensively, scheme-wise, coming out of the spring, obviously it's all about finding secondary personnel. But with the offense being the way it is, I think it's finally explosively balanced on offense. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think adding a piece here, adding a piece there, I think you finally got true balance where you don't have one guy dominating all the touches or you don't have – you know, one philosophy dominating all the touches. That being said, defensively, you have to think that that's going to allow them to play more aggressively, mm-hmm. especially up front, and then maybe more aggressively with the coverages and kind of leave those guys on an island and almost baptism by fire. We talked about this in the last episode when we kind of talked about, hey, how they're going to protect him. And the more I thought about it, I agreed with you even more than I did when you first said it, but just roll them out there and let them go. I mean, those guys are athletes, man, and they'll get after it. They're cocky. They're competitive. You know, they may get beat every once in a while, and that's okay. I mean, Justin Ross is a great player. You know, there's some good mm-hmm. – they're going to go against some great receivers and some great passing schemes. It's going to happen, you know. So, Georgia fans, if you know, it's going to happen. Get used to it. You know, that's college football. Alabama gave up a half a century club to Ole Miss, but they scored they scored 60. They had to score 60 to win, and they did it. So, I mean, that's the way football's trending. So, if you can get edge, you just have to get one or two more stops than your opponent does, and that's usually the difference in the ball game. And so
there you go. Especially when you got a team with such firepower as Alabama did. Now, I'm not comparing us to Alabama per se, but we look a lot like Alabama from last year because now we have the firepower to let our defense make their mistakes. You know what I mean? We have the firepower to go out. If the team scores, we can score right back. You know, we don't have to play catch up right now. So I think we do the same, like you said, throw them in the fire right now. And, you know, let them go to work. And, you know, Alabama didn't look really good on defense, you know, at the beginning of the year. But guess what? They got better. Why? Mm-hmm. Because they just let them go out there and play.
Yeah.
You know,
they took their lumps.
I think that's kind of the mindset now. We got dudes on offense now. We can go to work. So defense, here you go. Now it's time to go have fun and play ball.
Yeah, I mean, there's a certain standard that this defense has upheld ever since Kirby got there, and they've been trying to play to that standard. And if you're in that standard, great. If you're not, then you got to get better, or you're going to get replaced. And that's mm-hmm. and these guys know it's super thin, especially on the back end. That hey, Keeley's sitting right over there, and if I screw this thing up, he's going to jump in, and I may never see the field again. You know, same with safety. I mean, I think it allows them to get creative with that star position now too, because you mm-hmm. have a guy like Adam Anderson, plus you have bigger physical corners now that you can drop down there. You can kind of go a dime package where, you know, you have six DBs in the game where your low guy is more of a safety, and you know, you can have three safeties and, you know, three corners in the game. So you can do different personnel matching a lot easier now. because yeah, there's not a guy in the secondary that stands out like we've always had. Like there's not a Richard LeCount, there's not an Eric Stokes yet. There's a bunch of guys that are bunched up in the same pool right now, and not one of them has emerged yet, but they're all rising. Their talent is all like they're all feeding off each other, but there's not been that one guy that's popped out way ahead like we've had in years past, which it's okay. We're still playing at a high level, I think, but you know, I'm excited because it's going to be, you know, those guys are going to be fresher because there's not a whole lot of drop off between Jalen Kimber and Kelee Ringo or there's not, That's right. Probably, I mean, veteran experience wise, there might be a little bit more of a steeper drop off from Tyke Smith to whoever's backing him up or wherever he's playing. But I mean, you can throw him in the slot, throw the other two bigger athletic guys outside and you know, you can roll with that. And some of these guys can cross train. And so I'm excited to see coverage wise, we're going to be able to get creative again. And we're going to be able to get creative with pressures. We're already, according to Pro Football Focus, we already blitz 30% of the time, you know, almost 40% of the time. And we're a team that likes to blitz from distance. We're a team that will blitz you from anywhere on the field. It does not matter. We will blitz you from the corner. We'll blitz you late from the safety. We'll twist on the inside. We'll twist on the outside. We'll drop people, send people. I mean, we get pretty funky with our pressures, and that's the aggressive mindset that I love from Dan Lanning, Kirby Smart, and that defensive staff. It's 1,000,000% buy into. That's another part of like.
And that's it. It's just pretty much like now we're fixing to go to work, guys. Here we go. You got to decide who's coming from where, things like that. Just basically creating havoc everywhere you go. I'm just so excited to see these boys. I want to see them eat. That's what I'm excited to see them eat. And I'm excited to see that Kirby Smart's let those boys play, letting them talk, letting them have a little swag about themselves on offense and defense now. So, you know, like it's everybody has to learn. Nick Saban had to learn as well. And look at them now. Every player has a little bit of swag about them, you know. So you can say he came from that tree. So he realized, well, this way is not really working. Now let's try something different. That's the mark of a good coach, to take what you're doing, look at it, analyze it, and say, well, this ain't quite working. Let's kind of spruce it up a little bit. Let's change a little something here. And guess what? You can see the difference in how everything's going right now. So I love it. And I just can't wait for September to come around.
Absolutely. And from your perspective, what, you know, when you're diagnosing defenses, when you're doing film work and things like that, and to think about teams that are going to game plan against our defense. Mm-hmm. Now looking on the flip side perspective, from your perspective at wide receiver, what were the things from defensive backfields that gave you the most fits as a wide receiver?
You know, just understand the coverages pretty much. Understanding when they were rock and roll, you know, understanding when they went nickel or dime or anything like that. Understanding personnel changes in between. Just little things like that that I do now to help, you know, my receivers and my quarterback and my offense. Just little things like that can help you try to figure everything out. Because like you say, if you know where everybody's coming from, it makes everything a little bit easier, you know. But at the same time, the defense is also, you know, playing against you. So they're seeing what you're doing, you know. So it takes a lot of film work, takes a lot of paying attention. But after a while, you start to key on things and start to figure it out. So, you know, for the most part, if you do your job as a coach, you know, you kind of start to figure things out. As a player, with Huddle and the things that they have now at their disposal, there's no way that anybody should surprise you, you know, because as a coach, you know, we tag everything anyway, from coverage to blitzes to fronts and everything like that. So if you're not studying as a player yourself on your own, then, you know, you're not setting yourself up for success. You know, if you can Snapchat, Instagram, TikTok, and all that stuff, then you should be able to watch at least 30 minutes of film and know what your opponent's doing, where they're lining up, how they're lining up, where they're coming from.
Now, as a player, what was the hardest defense that you had to prepare for?
Ooh, as a defense, I think, now, you know, I'd tell it like this. The 4-2-5, was kind of tough, simply because sometimes it'd be a linebacker out there. Sometimes it'd be what we call the star, you know, and things like that. But the toughest defense that we played against had to be probably Florida with Spikes and that crew major, right? Just because they were so athletic. They were so fast. Yeah. They put them in so many different places to where, you know, you had to account for each one, but then one would blitz, one drop off, you know, they drop it, you know, things like that. So just the athletic standpoint of Florida back then was just amazing to me. So I'm glad to see that everybody's starting to catch up to things that they did.
Yeah. I'm glad to see that Todd Grantham is their defensive coordinator. And one of the things I had noticed about Grantham was it was kind of hard to digest his system. And you see that with Florida now and kind of cool. Everywhere he's been. So those guys are, I feel like those guys are always confused. He's gotten better, and I know he did a lot of good things. He's really good at pressure defense, and really good with the front seven. But on the back end, that's kind of where, you know, the third and Grantham that we all now appreciate has kind of come from. And so, you know, to me, Charlie Strong is super talented as a defensive coordinator, defensive mind. I hate that he flopped kind of as a head coach, but that's a different animal. So, I just kind of wanted to dive into pick your brain a little bit about kind of what you looked for, things like that. Now, when you were dissecting individual players and potential matchups, you know, when you looked at individuals instead of, you know, whole coverages, what are some things you tell your guys now that you looked at, and what are some things that you've picked up on since you last played and transitioned into coaching, things like that? What do you tell your guys?
Man, it's amazing now, the little things now that you see, from an offensive mind standpoint. I first start off on the back end just because I'm a receiver. You know, I'm looking at the safety depth. I'm looking at their stance. Then I go to the corners, you know, their stance. You know, do they have good hips? You know, when I watch them on film, how's their footwork? Do they press? Do they bail? Things like that. Then I go to the box. All right, I keep it all in a triangle. You know, so I go from top all the way down and draw a triangle. So now I go to the box. Now I see where are they pressuring from. You know, how's my linebacker stance? Do they do well getting out in the flats? Do they blind drop? Do they spot drop? Things like that. Now I go to the defensive line. Okay, so when I look at the defensive line, do they pinch? All right, do they spread? Do they slant left or right? Are there tendencies to let you know if they're slanting? Are you going to get an end tackle twist? Are you going to get a tackle in twist? Things like that. And then after that, now I go to, all right, how are they blitzing? And after that, then who can I attack? You know, so it's all kind of just a whole ordeal, which sounds like a lot, but it's really not, because everything just goes into one part as you're watching film, and as you're picking out who do I want to attack, who do I want to go against. If they got a corner out there that picks his nose and things like that, I'm going to know that, and things like that. Do they change personnels a lot? So just how they line up to things. So, you know, it sounds like a lot, but it's really not, just because I've been in it for so long. You and I, you know, we've been in it for so long, and then you just watch it and you just roll after that. So, but it is a lot going into it, you know, especially when you're game planning, you know, against other teams who also are as talented or maybe more talented than you are. So it's just all about finding what you can do well against them and how can you be efficient and effective and come out with a W at the end.
Yeah, exactly. It's all about taking your players and figuring out, okay, who are their dudes? You know, that's the first thing you got to figure out. Who jumps off the page at you? You know, whether it be a corner, defensive end. Usually in our neck of the woods, it's usually a defensive end that typically destroys things for us. And then how do their linebackers play? Are they fast flow? Are they downhill? Are they physical? Can they move in space? You know, how do they run laterally? I usually do the triangle, but I start from the base, whereas you start from the point.
From the bottom up.
Yeah, I go bottom up, you go top down. There's no right or wrong way. It's just how we prepare.
Because it's all preference.
I always want to see how they're going to pressure us, because our biggest concerns are always up front, and we got to protect the passer. And I like to sling the rock around, so I got to make sure our passer is going to be upright to do so. So I like to see what their blitz tendencies are, what is their body language, how's their posture when they're blitzing versus when they're playing base, coverage-wise, are their corners aggressive? Do they get lackadaisical? You know, how do they react to vertical routes? How do they react to crossers? How do they react to different situations down and distance? How, you know, what's the differences there? Do they change coverages? Do they stay the same? And then I try to predict, okay, now what's the mindset of this team? You know, because we're a team that's, we could be typically overlooked a lot of times because we're a team that's going to roll in with 35, 40 kids. We're never going to be bigger than anybody. Rarely are we going to be faster than anybody. So we've got to almost smoke and mirrors our way to win. So we've really got to kind of get creative on, okay, we're going to attack them. We've got to use things like conditioning and trickiness and all kind of stuff and quick passes and, you know, death by a thousand paper cuts type methods to be able to hang with some of the teams that we are forced to hang with. And especially our new region, we got three of the top 10 teams in the state in 4A in our region that we're competing with playoff spots. And so it's a 9-team region. So it's going to be basically a dogfight for that fourth position. And then you're going to have your top three teams battling for seeds there as they stay in the top 10. So, but I'm excited. We got some new philosophies going on. So we just got to figure out how can we attack guys? How can we put guys in conflict? We're actually Israel. We're going to, with the quarterback that we have, we're starting to like option football more and more with kind of matching it with an air raid passing scheme. So we're going to be, we're a mutt offense. And I'll say this till the cows come home. I hate offense in a box. Do not give me offense in a box. Cause a lot of people can learn. And my reasoning is a lot of people can learn the box, right? Like the Tony Franklin system. Like everybody knows the Tony Franklin system. So if you're a Tony Franklin guy, I feel like you're easy to defend now because they know the box.
Everybody does it.
Everybody does, like straight wing tee. Like everybody knows it now. So, you know, there's not a whole lot of smoke and mirrors because there's a lot of tendencies that come with wing tee that I've learned since installing it. Like a lot of the if then you can kind of almost diagnose it. So you have to get creative and you have to blend. If you blend concepts, if you blend philosophies and kind of create your own, you're much more unpredictable. You're much more tougher to defend. And I think you're going to get buy-in from those kids. So to me, it starts bottom up and trying to figure out how the front plays us. Cause if we can't get past the front, it doesn't matter. It matters what the secondary does. They can chill. It. Yeah. So to me, it doesn't matter. Now you're down there in Georgia. So you probably have more linemen at your disposal than I do. I have my starting left guard at this moment is 175 pounds, about 5'7", 5'8", 175 pounds. He can move.
Yeah.
He can move. My centers.
My two guards right now are pretty big. My center is that size. My center is about 5'7", probably about 176 right now.
Yeah.
But, you know, you don't have to be big to play center. You just got to be mean.
Yeah.
Now, but I got some big boys on the outside.
Yeah. We got a little bit of height on the outside. Like we got a kid that's about 6'3", 6'4". He's a young cat, but when he fills out Israel, he's going to look like a dude. I don't know if he'll play like a dude, but he'll look like a dude.
You sound like mine. I got a freshman that is 6'4", 255 right now, and he is beautiful. Lanky. Very athletic, plays basketball. So when he figures that out, he's just a ninth grader.
Yeah.
So when he figures it out, boy, he is going to be deadly.
Same with our kid. He's a rising sophomore. He has the gold flowing locks. He's about as unsure of himself as humanly possible. But we were running through some drills yesterday, and he knocked, like our coach was playing linebacker. We're putting in trap. And so he's playing tackle and he inside releases on the trap and he's like a bull in a china shop, doesn't know his own strength, doesn't know how strong he is. Kid's a freaking ox. He doesn't even realize it. But he comes in and just destroys the coach. And he's like, oh, I'm sorry. I was like,
no, that's what you're supposed to.
The coach is somewhere, but he's, you know, it's crazy. Like I was like, don't ever apologize for being physical.
Exactly.
Don't ever apologize for being physical. So, that's kind of where we're at, but I think we've got some kids that are excited to play over there. So I'm good with that. And we got a kid playing tackle here named Lucky. Mm. His name is Lucky. So I feel lucky.
That's it. That'll be fun.
How about the baseball team? Taking 2 out of 3 from Vandy.
That's right. And not just winning, but absolutely putting a whooping on them too at that.
Tearing the freaking cover off the ball. When we recorded last week, they were in the midst of a beatdown. I think they won that game 14-2. They lost on Friday. And then they came back Saturday and just destroyed the ball again. So I'm excited about this. Ryan Webb is back and better than ever. It's good. It's good to be a Georgia baseball player. I think they're starting to figure some things out. But yeah, the baseball team has been tremendous lately. They had a 13 hit attack. Cole Tate had 3 hits. Collins had 3 hits as well. It's not just one or two guys. Corey Collins and Cole Tate are two guys that are really tearing the cover off the ball. But I mean, you have other guys that are contributing as well. You have Chaney Rogers, Parks Harbor, you know, those type guys contributing all at the plate. And we're just, it's almost like we're seeing the ball really, really well. And so this baseball team's impressive. Pitching is there. We're getting some good outings. We're getting some good innings from our starters. And so I'm excited about that. As Israel comes back from the tornado mafia that killed his internet for a minute.
My bad. I lost you for a second.
Yeah. I asked you a question and all of a sudden you dropped that. I was like, oh no. It's an awkward moment, but
oh no, I was trying. I had a call coming in. I was trying to click back over,
and you just hung up.
But then I ended up hanging up back.
Yeah, no, it's all good. But no, I was talking about the dogs at the plate, and it's not just a couple of guys. You know, I mean, obviously Cole Tate and Corey Collins are the guys leading the way. They're kind of contributing more than others, but I mean, you're getting solid at bats from guys like Chaney Rogers, Parks Harbor, Luke Wagner's getting you some good innings on the mound. Michael Polk, Darren Pasquay, also in relief. So you're getting contributions from a lot of different guys.
Mm-hmm. And that's a good thing, you know. When baseball is an individual but team sport at the same time. All those components have to be working together as well. So if you got great pitching in the field, you have to be able to hit the baseball to help that guy out. You know, eventually it's just like a defense. You know, if the offense can't score and they're continuously going out, you know, on the field, they're eventually going to give up some points. You know, so when you got a great pitcher out there, the bats have to wake up and they have to help them out. And this week, it was great. And, you know, Coach Rocker's son is a baller. He's a dang great pitcher.
He is.
But at the same time, they rocked him this week.
Yeah, and that's baseball. I mean, when you're on, you're on. And yes, it's a heavy momentum sport. And once you get going, you can get going. Our baseball team here at Hillwood was, you know, they were facing a similar situation. I mean, they came in to the series. We played 2-game series with district opponents. And they came in 4-10, you know, struggling, like couldn't – mm-hmm. Having a really hard time at the plate, having a really hard time pitching outside of our ace, who threw seven innings of beautiful baseball, had almost double digit strikeouts, but they came in, and they were really struggling at the plate. They were getting some guys out, but they were really struggling at the plate. And they came in Monday, and they started swinging the bat, and they started connecting. They started hitting balls into gaps where they were normally popping balls up or rolling balls over to the second baseman mm-hmm. or the shortstop. They were starting to drive the baseball into different gaps. And I think that's what you saw Georgia do. And Georgia's been up and down. Georgia got off to a really kind of a slow start. They picked it up a little bit, and then they kind of got in a slump again. And then they kind of fixed some things, fixed their approach at the plate. I guess they said, hey, we're going to be more aggressive, and we're not going to let pitchers get deep into the count. We're going to jump on these things early because we're typically going to get fastball early. We got to jump on those good pitches while they're there, drive them somewhere, and get some guys on base. And that's the approach that they took, and you saw the results.
Oh, yeah, and it gets the number one team in the country, too, at that. So I'm looking forward to get better every year. We just have to get away from the up and down play that we got going on. You know, we just have to be a little bit more consistent. I think after that, when we get a little bit more consistent, Georgia's going to be real dangerous on the baseball.
Yeah, you just got to find some consistency, and that's all. And that's the name of the game for anybody in baseball. You got to find some consistency on the mound. You got to find some guys that can get. You got to find a couple starters that can get guys out and get you to the seventh inning, so that you're not putting a whole lot of pressure on your relievers. You've got to find those innings, and even when your starters struggle, your relievers have got to step up. Your bats have got to step up when your pitchers are struggling. And when your pitchers are dealing, your bats can struggle. Like it's all complementary. And so you've got to find mm-hmm. that. You've got to find that balance. You got to find that edge. But Israel, this is going to do it for us, man. You know, G-Day is this weekend. So I'm going to be in tune. I know you're going to be in tune as well. Give me mm-hmm. to recap, just give me three quick things that you're looking for.
I'm looking for who do we have step up at the receiver position? Do we have a bona fide backup quarterback? And how does our secondary do this weekend? And I'm ready to see those guys play. So those are the three things I'm looking for.
I'm looking for secondary, who steps up, who's going to be the guy. The defensive front, we already know what's going to happen there. What the wide receiver room, I'm in total agreement with you. Who's gonna be the playmaker? Is it gonna be the whole group? Is it gonna be one guy? How do these freshmen come in? These early enrollees, I want to see how they play in these situations. And then of course, I want to see the quarterbacks. I want to see Brock and Carson Beck. That's the future of Georgia football right now. I want to see those two guys go out and compete. So I want to see the quarterback position. I want to see the wide receiver position. I want to see the DBs. I want to see those three positions, see how they react, and see how they manage the youth that they have at that position, youth and experience that they have at that position. So
there you go.
And our last sponsor, this was supposed to be a mid-roll ad that we had back, I guess, earlier in the winter, maybe in the fall, but it's Just Live, right? Just Live. So, you know, I'm somebody who right now is dealing with some sleep issues, and a lot of it's just because my five-year-old is doesn't really sleep all that much. Sometimes he just wakes up. Like this morning, he woke up at 1:30 a.m., so I've been up since 1:30, and he decided to have a poop-pocalypse. So, you know, I deal with it when both your kids were born. I'm sure you dealt with sleep issues. You know,
we're going through it now. My son just really doesn't want to go to sleep at all. Yeah. So, it depends on the day. Sometimes he goes to sleep at 9. Sometimes he goes at 10. Sometimes he goes at 1. Yeah. So you just never know with this.
Yeah, him. We all go through stress, and our immune systems can take a beating at times. But, you know. Support for our podcast is brought to you by Just Live, a trusted source for high quality wellness CBD products created by athletes just for you. That's why Just Live came out with their new CBD gummy line. They have 6 different flavors and functions, including sleep, energy, focus, immunity, calm, and vitamin C. Plus, they're vegan and low sugar. Just Live was founded by professional athletes Clay Thompson, Alex Morgan, Travis Pastrana, and Paul Rodriguez because they wanted to create a CBD product that they can trust and stand behind. If you need support with sleep, focus, energy, stress, or immune health, I highly recommend giving these a try. Right now, if you buy one of the new gummies products, you get one free. So there are six different benefits to choose from instead of just choosing one. Visit justlive.com, use code SUPPORT to buy one and get one free. Again, that's visiting justlive.com, JUSTLIVE.com. Use code SUPPORT to buy one and get one free. So buy one, get one free of the new gummies with the code SUPPORT at justlive.com. That's buy one, get one free at JustLive. Use the code SUPPORT. I may try this out, Israel.
I think I might too. I'm going to have to look as soon as I get off this call. I think I'm going to go and look them
up. Yeah,
so
right, you're
going
to buy some baits, some gummies, and maybe some sunglasses from Canaan and make a few bets in blackjack, and you're good. You're good to go.
That's,
man,
it.
We're
gonna have a lot.
You
of
got
fun.
Your dance card filled, man. So, but that's gonna do it for us, man. There's gonna be some good news coming down the pike, so get ready for that. Get your set ready, Israel. We gotta have some badass sets there for when we go live. So we can compete with the likes of the J Boy Show and LAFB and some of these podcasts that are going video streams. I know my podcast with the Illegal Motion is going video stream as well. So they're having a meeting with me and myself and Matt on Monday at some point. So I'll let you know how that goes. And of course, as an audience, I'll let you know as well, and we'll let you know. We'll bring you the updates, and we'll bring you all the fun from the Believe in Georgia Dogs podcast. So, Israel, any last words before we go?
No, I don't, but I can't wait for this weekend, and everybody be safe and go Dogs.
Absolutely. Enjoy G-Day. Have a great weekend. Have a great rest of your week. Be safe. Enjoy the action, and we'll see you back here next week on the Believe in Georgia Dogs podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. And as always, go Dogs.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.